Hello, this is the podcast for our class number 12 on October 4. And in this class, we finished up talking about the duty or no duty rules of a certain kind of a status of the defendant. And the status was a government entity. Up until now, we've been talking about different status, different rules, duty rules, depending upon the status, landowner, occupier, etc. And last class, in this class, we covered government entities. And we see how when we have these rules, before when we talked about landowner, occupier, we saw that the courts really gave great deference to the owner-occupier status, but in the end, by having these different rules, depending upon the classification of the person who was on the property, injured on the property, now we see the great difference being given to government entities, and this should make sense to you, although you may not be happy about it. Separation of powers means that courts don't want to get involved with questions involving policy questions involving government entities. That means they don't want to second guess the government decisions. So you see a theme that has run through all of these things. Certain types of injuries caused by certain types of decisions or actions. If it's a decision or an action that is policy, that is involved a choice, involved discretion, involved the exercise of their governmental authority, then they're going to be immune from those things. They're going to be immune from liability. Can't question that. If the injury, though, is caused by something that we've called proprietary, that is authority that anybody could do, run a hospital or run a transportation system, if it's a proprietary function, no immunity. They've got to do it with reasonable care. If it's a discretionary and if it's not proprietary, then it's governmental. And if it's governmental, you still have the question of, is it something that it was the injury caused by an exercise of governmental discretion, or was it caused by just carrying out a discretionary decision that was already made? Is there a choice or no choice involved here? If there's no choice and they had to do it, they're not going to be immune. It just means that they have to have a standard of reasonable care. If governmental choice involved or policy or discretion, then they're going to be immune. So we saw the Friedman case, which that was a different kind of case than we've seen before. It was a planning decision. It was involving a planning decision. And the court said, planning decisions, same way. Are they operational or discretionary? Is it discretionary, which means using your policy decision making authority, or just purely ministerial? That means just carrying out a choice that was already made. And when it talks about planning, the courts have very, very little interest in getting involved in questioning planning decisions. We've seen that court says they will get involved if they're patently bad, erroneous, patently wrong. But not just that they're, you know, that policymakers could disagree on the ultimate decision. The plan has to be, as the court said, just, you know, poorly done and questionable. So I gave my idea of what I think a questionable, something the court certainly look at. You have to have a plan to build a bridge instead of a licensed engineer, you hire your out-of-work brother-in-law who's a plumber. Sure, there's no basis for, no professional basis for that plan. But anything less than that, I think the courts are not going to be that interested in questioning it. So in the Friedman case, there had been a plan to build these barriers, either put in permanent barriers or the Jersey barriers on the road, but it hadn't been implemented for 5 years. Court said no really good reason was given for the lack of implementation. You know, there could be good reasons. I mean, that they truly had no money or they truly were trying to do it. That's a different thing. But here, it just hadn't been done. So the court says liability, no immunity. Then we had Mueller and Cataldo. Cataldo's problem was that his accident came between a plan saying we shouldn't put the Jersey barriers up on the Tappan Zee Bridge and a plan saying that we should put the Jersey barriers up on the Tappan Zee Bridge. And he fell right in the middle of that. And the court said, well, it's because they changed the plan a few years after making it 70 to 74 doesn't mean that we're going to question the 72 plan. Doesn't mean that it's clearly erroneous. You know, and Cataldo says, what are you talking about? In 2 years, they've changed their mind about whether you need Jersey barriers, and I was injured in between then. Court said, well, you know, you just fell through the cracks. We're not going to look at that 72 plan or the 62 plan. We're going to look at a 74 plan. You know, you did fall between those two time frames. However, more luckily, Mueller came along, and his accident was 77, 3 years after the 74 plan that said you have to do the Jersey barrier. So same crossover accident, same bridge, four-year difference. What was different in ending liability was that there was immunity in the Cataldo, but none in the accident that took place in 77. So courts are not going to question whether, say, for example, in Weiss v. Foote, whether it was the decision to make a light 4-second light changes rather than 5-second light changes. It was a decision, and the court's not going to question whether it was erroneous or not, even though our plaintiff could find some experts that said 5 seconds was better here, unless it was patently erroneous. And this is just a matter of judgment. They're not going to question the judgment. Then we looked at the Federal Tort Claims Act. Now, the Federal Tort Claims Act is a very specific document that opened the door to liability under certain very specific situations and kept the door closed under other situations. So the Federal Tort Claims Act says they're not going to be liable for discretionary decisions. We've seen that before. But then they define it, discretionary decisions, you know, anything that has any kind of economic background, policy background, anything at all, that's a discretionary decision. And if you think about it, as we talked about in class, that would mean nothing ever, you know, everything would be classified as discretionary and nothing would ever pass through the immunity shield. So we saw in Cope v. Scott two different allegations, one at that they should have changed the roadway. And two, that they should have put up signs. Court looked at it and said, well, they're both discretionary, but we're going to make a further distinction. We're going to make a further distinction. Because if we didn't make this distinction, there would never be any suits, and what would be the point of the Federal Tort Claims Act? So the court made a distinction between discretionary decisions that are fundamentally based in policy, economics, or social rationales, and those that are not fundamentally based in it. And deciding where you place your road improvement scheme, as they adhere, where they placed the road improvement scheme. They looked at it. They decided the road was dangerous. They knew it was slippery. But there were lots of other things that were more dangerous on the Rock Creek Parkway. So the court said, well, that's discretionary. That's a fundamental economic decision. But then they looked at the idea of putting up signs. There were already signs there. Certainly, it's economic decision whether to add more signs, but it's de minimis. They'd already put up some other signs. They didn't have signs at this particular curve that was the subject of the litigation. And the court said it's the idea of putting up signs, it's not, it has some economic implications, but it's not fundamentally economic. And it doesn't, they're not following a statute. The little sign guidelines are just that, guidelines. They're not following statute. And so there's no reason for immunity in this area. So the court was allowed this case to go on a reasonable care inquiry. So the question, when you're talking about federal government, because the Federal Tort Claims Act is so limited and specific, the court opened the door to even further litigation, a very tiny door opening, tiny little opening, to further litigation. Otherwise, there'd be no opportunity to sue the government because everything could be considered discretionary. In next class, we're going to move on to a whole new section about duty requirements, and this is the duty to prevent non-physical harms. And it should not surprise you that it's these, when we get away from physical harm, and even though emotional harm has physical implications, it should surprise you that there's more impediment to liability when you get away from the physical, the purely physical, as opposed to emotional or economic harm. When you get away from physical injuries, there are more impediments to liability. So we'll start those next class with the Falzone case.